1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Chicago area accused 4th of July mass shooter Robert Cremo III declined to change his plea during a hearing today. Prosecutors expected a change from not guilty to guilty with a plea deal. Trials in February. The Supreme Court rejected a challenge to the Biden administration's communication with social media companies about what kinds of content should be categorized as disinformation and misinformation. ABC News legal contributor Kate Shaw.
What the court concludes is that these social media companies already have their own content moderation policies. So really what these plaintiffs were complaining about is things that the platforms were doing anyway. They want to take down misinformation and disinformation.
President Biden and former President Trump preparing for tomorrow's first debate of the election year. Kenyan President William Ruto says he won't sign into law a finance bill proposing new taxes a day after protesters stormed Parliament and several people were shot dead. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Madison judge is granting a temporary injunction that will allow people with disabilities to vote at home electronically. Dane County's Everett Mitchell says the state law banning election clerks from emailing absentee ballots to disabled voters is unenforceable. The case could go all the way to the state Supreme Court. The first presidential debate is tomorrow night. Kristen Cira is a teacher in Port Washington with an autoimmune disorder, but she's listening to hear what the candidates have to say about helping young people.
What are we going to do about this whole generation of people who do not have health care as part of their employment package? How are they going to access health care so they can stay healthy?
Civic Media's debate coverage is on many of these stations tomorrow night at 7:30. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Damaging and severe thunderstorms rolled across Wisconsin Monday night and Tuesday morning, leaving flooding, downed trees, power outages, and upended campers in its wake. The National Weather Service has confirmed that an EF1 tornado hit Menominee County. And on its Facebook page, Oconto County Sheriff's Office posted photos of overturned campers in the Berry Lake area. The Oconto Sheriff's officials say no injuries were reported. United States Senator Bernie Sanders will visit the Fox Valley for a rally this week. Senator Sanders will hold the rally at the Plumbers and Steamfitters UA Local 400 in Kakana Thursday at 5 p.m. It's to rally the progressive movement in Wisconsin. Doors open at 4 p.m. Senator Sanders is currently seeking his fourth term in the Senate, representing the state of Vermont. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
Another win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the defending World Series champs, the Rangers, 3-1. Milwaukee's Joey Ortiz with a shot over the left field wall on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Ortiz, left field, warning track, out of here!
I asked Ortiz if the Rangers' Andrew Heaney tried to slip a fastball past him.
No, not necessarily. He'd been flipping me breakers. I was kind of just aware of where I needed the ball to start to get that pitch to hit it well, and he threw it at somewhere I can hit it and got to it.
The Brewers' Hobie Milner got his first start and was replaced by Bryce Wilson, who held the Rangers scoreless through six innings.
I mean, they shut us down. You know, they went with the opener, got a quick run. Things were looking good, but we just couldn't get two or three hits together. And that's what it takes to score a run, or you got to hit a home run, and you got to knock in some runs, and that was missing tonight.
That's the Rangers manager, Bruce Bochy. NBA draft tonight, the Bucks with the 23rd pick. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A dry, sunny, beautiful, and breezy day today with winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour out of the north, eliminating the humidity and keeping our highs in the mid-70s. With no rain in the forecast for tomorrow, too. Enjoy it. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
If you sail or enjoy water sports, why not consider a donation to International Youth Sailing of Oshkosh at Miller's Bay on Lake Winnebago? This group has passionately built a community of recreational sailing for kids and families in northeastern Wisconsin for 16 years. A donation from you would help us to continue to educate and enrich the lives of children in Oshkosh through sailing. To make a donation or to volunteer, please visit us at sailoshkosh.com.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you.
Brewers Baseball Academy, presented by Fleet Farm, returns to cities this summer for its 12th year. Kids aged 6 to 14 are invited for a week of instruction and fun, plus a VIP day at American Family Field. Space is limited. Don't miss out. Visit brewers.com/camps for details.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Peter Jest, author of the book We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. We'll also talk about a summer blockbuster with the help of the late comedian Richard Jenny.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Wednesday, June 26, 2024. It is
Hump Day!
That's right. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Now, 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay, down to the, or over to the Mississippi River and all points in between, we welcome you into a midweek edition. It is a big, big show coming up in hour two. Not going to want to miss it, as we have Brigadier General David May, the Wisconsin Interim Adjutant General, Commander of Wisconsin's National Guard, and also in charge of emergency management for Wisconsin, will be here in studio. He'll be bringing along with him Lieutenant Colonel Shannon Hellenbrand from Wisconsin's Army National Guard, talking about the EAA coming up in Oshkosh a little bit later this summer. We will be there to cover that, and also about the challenges facing recruitment in Wisconsin's National Guard as well. And joining the panel at that time will be Paul Malloy of the EAA. Of course, the Experimental Aeronautics Air Show coming up in Oshkosh a little bit later this summer. Also, a little bit later this hour, we'll be joined by Matt Flynn, the two-time chairman of the Democratic Party and attorney. He'll be giving us some clarity on some of these statements coming out of the U.S. Supreme Court and what it could signal, not just for the overturning of Roe v. Wade on this second anniversary of the Dobbs decision, but what it could mean for the Obergefell decision from a while back, which codified, or which I should say made clear, that marriage equality was the law of the land. So all that coming up, but right now we are joined, as per usual, from beautiful Lake Wissota up in northern Wisconsin, the host of Up North News Radio from 6 to 8, our very own Pat Kreitlow, and joining us from a secure, undisclosed, balmy, tropical location, the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigvi Olson. Gentlemen, welcome all.
Good afternoon.
Now, Mr. Kreitlow, you were in a balmy location, not secure and undisclosed. You were down at the Magic Kingdom for a couple of days.
As undisclosed as it gets, as I hold up my Magic Kingdom souvenir map for the camera here.
That.
My Disney World ticket. This one has Woody on it.
Nice.
My ticket for the Universal Orlando Resort to get in and out. And, of course, from Universal, my personalized SpongeBob coffee mug. So I got it all. I did it all. And I will never complain about the heat and humidity up here. It is nothing compared to the heat and humidity of Florida this time of year.
Yeah, no, it is excruciating. I mean, you're just wet all the time with wringing with sweat.
Yeah. You are instantly just, it's like condensation in a weird form. Still better than wherever Trigvi is, which looks like a Cat 6 storm is going to be brewing on the horizon there to take him out.
Trigvi Olson, can you tell us in general terms where you're joining us from today?
I'm not in Bayfield.
Although I wish it was in Bayfield because it would be cooler in Bayfield.
Yeah, it's always cooler in Bayfield.
Well, we're getting ready, Trigby. We're going to be joining Mr. Kreitlow once again in a couple of weeks up there in beautiful Chippewa Falls for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. That's going to be on, I believe, Wednesday, July 10th. We're getting ready to do another statewide tour. I'm excited about this, guys. And again, we're going to focus a lot on perhaps sometimes portions of the state that don't get enough love and people around the state don't know about it. So, Trigby, I'm excited.
We get enough. We can't get enough of you and Trigby. I mean, we put the roadblocks up, but we can't keep you out of here. So,
well, we love it. Well, Trigby's from there. So we're going to Trigby's old hometown stomping ground, right, Trigby?
Yes. 50th anniversary. And I'm old enough to remember the first one.
So it'll be nice to have you at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds in Chippewa Falls, just up the hill from the Liney Lodge. And glad that you'll be back on the road again, assuming Trigby's able to escape the terribly tropical and comfortable place where he's.
I'm about to get on a small plane too.
Good Lord, Trigby.
I don't know how that's
going to
go.
Yeah, two pina coladas would always help with that,
right?
Any air nerves there?
Yeah.
Speaking of people that might be drinking, perhaps the Trump campaign and the Republicans a little bit, because I'm not sure if you guys heard over the last hour or so, breaking news, Mr. Zommer is on top of it here. Former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, one of the two Republicans, along with Liz Cheney of Wyoming, who sat on the bipartisan January 6th committee, has been kind of signaling this, but today he came out and said it. We're going to play this endorsement, this clip, and then get both your takes on it. Here is Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman from Illinois, earlier today.
I'm Adam Kinzinger, and I'm a proud conservative. I always have been. As a proud conservative, I've always put democracy and our Constitution above all else. And it's because of my unwavering support for democracy that today, as a proud conservative, I'm endorsing Joe Biden for re-election. My entire life has been guided by the conviction that America is a beacon of freedom, liberty, and democracy. So while I certainly don't agree with President Biden on everything, and I never thought I'd be endorsing a Democrat for president, I know that he will always protect the very thing that makes America the best country in the world, our democracy. Donald Trump poses a direct threat to every fundamental American value. He doesn't care about our country. He doesn't care about you. He only cares about himself. And he'll hurt anyone or anything in pursuit of power. We saw that when he tried to overturn an election that he knew he lost in 2020. He attacked the foundation of this nation, encouraging a violent mob of his supporters to march on the Capitol to prevent the peaceful transition of power. Now he's become even more dangerous. He's called for termination of the Constitution. He wants to be a dictator on day one. He actually said that. And he's continuing to stoke the flames of political violence. There's too much at stake to sit on the sidelines. So to every American of every political party and those of none, I say now is not the time to watch quietly as Donald Trump threatens the future of America. Now's the time to unite behind Joe Biden and show Donald Trump off the stage once and for all.
Adam Kinzinger from about an hour and a half ago on putting out the statement that he is endorsing Joe Biden. Pat Kreitlow, what say you?
I'm Pat Kreitlow, and I approve his message. It is the right message at the right time. And it is, I don't know if your show comes with an explicit language warning, but I'll go for it anyway. This is exactly the testicular fortitude that is needed by more of my Republican friends and neighbors to don't waffle. Don't give us the back and forth of, but this and but that. No. One is a convicted felon who is still awaiting justice for trying to overturn an election. This is not difficult. And if Adam Kinzinger is showing you the way, then come on along and join me and Trigby and others who are saying between Republicans and Democrats together, we want to fight again. I don't want to be in the foxhole with this guy saving democracy, because that shouldn't be a fight to even have. So once we're done with that, we can get back to arguing about, you know, tax policy and voucher schools and a whole host of other things. But this year is above all making sure that a guy who is antithetical to democracy never gets near the White House again.
Trigby Olson, former Republican like myself, now at the Lincoln Project. You know Kinzinger, you've been around these guys. What does this mean to Republicans who may still vote for their local sheriff for Republicans, but just have soured on Trump?
Well, I think, you know, the pressure on reasonable Republicans who are conflicted about Donald Trump is growing. And I think Adam's statement obviously is strong. I agree with everything Pat said. I think the key is going to be making sure that that message and the incongruence between what Donald Trump stands for and what the Republican Party is traditionally stands for is driven home. And I don't know if you guys saw the ad that we put out at the Lincoln Project yesterday.
Yes.
Steered right at Republicans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we obviously saw that Adam was speaking out, and we thought now is the time to be reminding Republicans that this is not Ronald Reagan's Republican Party. It is not George Bush's. It is not the traditional Republican Party. And quite frankly, Adam does just a great job of pointing that out. And there needs to be more who demonstrate that kind of courage.
I agree. Pat Kreitlow, a longtime Democrat, has served in the state legislature, the state Senate as a Democrat. What would you say, Pat, to some of your Democratic colleagues and friends? I was talking to someone, I won't say their name, in Southwest Wisconsin, avid Democrat, and they were carrying, I don't want to say carrying on and on, but I guess I've already said it. So they were just going, it really upset them, this gaveling in and out of the state legislature and by Republicans, and wanted to make that the issue. I said, look, the reality is that just like redistricting, Democrats are not completely blameless here when in the years past when they have been in charge. And rather than focusing on those things, let's build a coalition like Adam Kinzinger is doing, like you're doing, like Trigby's doing, of trying to just stop Trumpism and save our democracy. Can Democrats get past some of these things like Gaza and, oh, Joe Biden is too old, he doesn't send the trickle up my leg or whatever? Can they get past that and unify with these moderate former Republicans to get this done?
Oh, absolutely. I think that plenty of people of all political stripes are capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time. It is absolutely possible to be making the case that at the local level, any legislator, Republican legislator who would gavel in and gavel out a special session on important issues isn't taking their job seriously. Just because you're also making the case that those same Republicans should not be voting for an insurrectionist like Donald Trump doesn't mean we can't disagree on more issues. I know which one has the higher priority. I know which one where I'd spend my limited time trying to persuade somebody, and I would persuade them about the legislative, you know, matters separately. But if I've only got time to make one pitch, it's to say save the country so that we can fight about these other important things.
And I want to make clear that I agree 100% with you, Pat. I agreed with the person I was talking to. I said it's to use the double negative, it's not an important issue. It's just not the issue, I feel, in 2024.
Yeah, well, especially on something like Gaza, for example,
right,
where, again, I don't want to get drawn into the whole thing, but and by the whole thing, I'm saying look at this country right now in this place and time, and if we're going to be there to support allies or broker peace deals, or if we're going in an entirely different direction where we don't do anybody any good.
We have about 30 seconds left, gentlemen. Pat, you have a birthday coming up here in about a week or so. Yes, Trey V, you want to guess how old he's going to be?
Oh, come on.
62. I mean, he was on TV. He was on WE.
You can cut his mic anytime. It's 60.
Just like 62. Biden and Trump, Kreitlow's ready to cut off the mic. He's turning 60. He's turning, and he doesn't look a day past 50. Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate you up there, Lake Wasilla. Talk to you later. Stan, Trigby's coming back. Also, Matt Flynn. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hubde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Welcome back to the Tahleball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 20 past the hour of 12 noon on this 26th of July. It's June, Todd. That's the month we're in. Trigby Olson remains on the line with us, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, for the rest of this hour at a secure, undisclosed, beautiful location with a tropical drink in his hand. We appreciate him making time for us on his vacation. I want to bring in now one of our ongoing contributors and friends and colleagues here. He's a two-time chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He is an attorney and just an all-around great guy. Matt Flynn joins us from the phone. Matt, do we find you in Milwaukee today, or where in the world is Matthew Flynn?
Matthew Flynn is in Milwaukee, as always. Good to be with you and Rigby, and there's certainly a lot to talk about.
There's a lot of politics, but what I want to get into, Matt, and I want to get your professional opinion on this. I appreciate you making time for us. There was a story in Raw Story yesterday. It was entitled Clarion Call, Sotomayor's Defiant Statement Tells Analyst Liberal Justices Have Had It. Reading a little bit here, the U.S. Supreme Court's liberal justices have fired a warning shot at the conservative majority. Sonia Sotomayor cited the 5-4 decision striking down abortion rights 2 years ago this week to assert that her conservative colleagues were threatening marriage rights, and fellow liberals Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson joined her in dissent in a low-profile case about a Salvadoran husband's immigration visa. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who wrote the 6-3 decision in the visa case Friday, deemed Sotomayor's dissenting opinion an overreaction to a straightforward immigration dispute. Matt Flynn, lay this out as you always do in terms that the common person can understand. As Craig Kilborn used to say on his late night show, Matt Flynn, what up?
We got to get it down to where the chickens can get at it.
In the words of Judge Weissman, exactly.
Right, exactly. It's a great phrase. Here's the deal. Sotomayor was absolutely right that the six tarantulas in Dobbs and other cases are really upending the Constitution. But in my judgment, she was wrong to raise it in the context of this case. Let me quick tell you the case. The Munoz case out of El Salvador. Guy walks into the consulate, our consulate, and goes, I'm married to a woman in the U.S. I want to go there. I have a right to go there. He had tattoos. The consulate viewed them as gang tattoos. We exclude gang members from the United States. We don't want them. He then got hold of an expert who said, well, maybe they aren't necessarily gang tattoos. Here's the deal, Todd. A person outside of the United States has zero rights. Z-E-R-O, under our Constitution. The issue here is whether a woman who is his wife has rights to bring him in on her own. Now, here's the deal. I know of at least one case where people from foreign countries pay someone in this country, a woman, to, quote, marry them, end quote. They never consummate it, and then they get into the country. I do not know if that was the case here, nor do I care. But the consulate said, hey, we don't like your tattoos. We don't need more gang members. El Salvadorian gangs are vicious as hell. That's it. Why did Sotomayor raise that in the context of this case? Dobbs, yes. You know, Shelby County, yes. Citizens United, yeah, absolutely. But to raise it to about a guy who walks in with tattoos to our consulate in El Salvador is crazy, in my opinion.
So what's the connection, Matt, to trying to make this point that somehow, and this part, I believe, you tell me as an attorney who knows the law if I'm off my rocker here, but I think that some of the things that have come out of this court with the Trump majority on it, I think cases like Obergefell, which for those that aren't familiar, that's the case that basically made same-sex marriage illegal, the law of the land of this country. I think they're, because of the precedent of overturning Roe v. Wade, with this court, there's really nothing sacred from court precedent, and I think there is a clarion call here. Do I have that wrong?
No, you have that exactly right. And that case on same-sex marriage, contraception, all that, relied on what's called substantive due process, which is an innovative doctrine that goes back to Griswold in 1962, where, believe this or not, you couldn't walk into a drugstore in Connecticut in 1962 and get contraception unless you could prove you were married. I'm not kidding. And wow. So people said, hey, come on. And so that's all jeopardized. I think it was very, very foolish to raise it in the context of this immigration case, but it's very, very true. Same-sex marriage, contraception, let's take a look at Dobbs, and all of that is being rammed down our throats by a Supreme Court that's operating as a super legislature. They're not operating at all as a court. Remember something. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the Supreme Court can review anything Congress does or any law. It's not there. Yeah. In 1803, in Marbury versus Madison, they go, okay, we have that right. And people put up with it because you do need a responsible Supreme Court. But then you have the Dred Scott decision, Plessy v. Ferguson. During the New Deal, they upended all, and almost upended Social Security, all of Franklin Roosevelt's laws until he said, I'm going to pack the court. That was what saved us. But then you had Brown versus Board of Education, Baker v. Carr, a lot of good cases. Now these clowns are coming in and saying, hey, we're an unelected legislature. Who the hell said they were? The Constitution doesn't say it. But because they have a corrupt Republican Party who won't impeach them and convict them, that's what's happening here.
Trigvi Olson, about 3 minutes left. We'll come back and we'll discuss this after the bottom of the hour here. But what Matt, take everything Matt said here and help us put this into political contexts. Because you and I are going to be at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee here in about 3 weeks. And you and I came from a Republican Party, which we both now have left. And we used to hear when it came to Supreme Court, well, we don't want activist judges. Those liberals always have activist judges. We want them to interpret the law as written. But here now, when it came to overturning Roe v. Wade, and perhaps with Obergefell as well, we have a conservative, quote-unquote, court that are being activist judges.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I was thinking that exact same thing as Matt was talking. I think the thing that people have to realize, and I think this is why you're seeing the response you've seen to Dobbs, is, you know, 75% of Americans are culturally, they tend to be traditionalists. But what you're seeing is on something like Dobbs, that was established law for 50 years. The people who are actually being culturally reformist are on the right rather than on the left. And that is a massive change. And you're seeing now people who used to advocate that we don't need judges making these decisions suddenly being like, well, it's our court, so we're going to impose our values. And, you know, there is a large segment of the population that is responding negatively to it, but they just keep plowing ahead forward. And that is the autocratic nature of how they're approaching things. They're being completely tone deaf, and they're not honoring precedent. So
about 45 seconds left. We'll pick it up, both of you on the other side, but quickly, Trigvi, I mean, Republicans, do they think we're just all stupid? Those of us who used to belong to the party, how can they just keep pushing this aside, not thinking people are going to call them on it?
I think there's elements within them that recognize they have a short period of time to grab power and hold it. And that's why democracy is a threat to them.
Yep. As Glenn Grothman once said to my former boss, Dale Schultz, on voter ID issues, on suppression issues, he said, quote, well, Dale, we might as well do it now because, you know, the Democrats would do it if they were in power. Which, to Trigvi's point, they're just after power. Come back and talk with more on the other side. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
So you've gotten your fill of sweet June strawberries in Wisconsin, and now you want your own. Well, strawberries are picky about their soil, I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Andrew Zald from White Pine Berry Farm in River Falls explains more about what to know when you're going to grow strawberries.
So strawberries like a very light soil. And when my dad was looking at a farm to purchase, we luckily found a farm nearby our home area that had lighter soil. The reason that is because berries don't like sitting in water. So if you have light soil, it drains well. Now, they don't like sitting in water, but they really also need water when it's hot out, when we haven't had rain for a couple days. So it's a funny balance between I want water, but I don't want heavy soil that's going to get the ground really saturated.
That was Andrew Zwald of White Pine Berry Farm in River Falls. I'll have a look at your midday commodity markets right after this.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your Wednesday midday commodity markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at 427, up 1.5 cents. New crop corn is trading at 443 1/4. That is up 1/4. Cash beans are trading at 11.69 3/4. That is up 6.5 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 11.09 3/4. And that is down 1 3/4. Cash wheat is trading at 5.47. That is up 5 1/4 cents. And new crop wheat is trading at 5.66 1/2. And that is up 6 cents. On the dairy side of things now, July Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1947 a hundredweight. That is up 1 cent. And August Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2022 a hundredweight, and that is up 13 cents. Be sure to take us with you wherever you go by downloading our app at thefarmwi.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A dry, sunny, beautiful, and breezy day today with winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour out of the north, eliminating the humidity and keeping our highs in the mid-70s. With no rain in the forecast for tomorrow, too. Enjoy it. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Many people with unique homes reach out to Pella because our team of experts can customize windows and doors that match architecture from any era.
I love that I have a home that's 100 years old. It's a historic district, and we didn't want to ruin the look by having modern windows in an older home. When I found out that Pella had an architecturally accurate product line, they simply guided us and helped us to make a great decision for our home.
Order today and get 0% interest for up to 36 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Certain restrictions apply at 6/30/2024.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets
crude and dumb.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates. We got a whopper of a Wednesday edition with former Congressman Joe Walsh, Bill Press, our buddy, and Charles.
Welcome back to the Pella Wobble Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, hump day, June 26, 2024, 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. Glad to have you along with us. It is a tropical vibe from our friend Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, who joins us, God bless his heart, while on vacation, a little work vacation, somewhere south, joining us from the tropics with his Green Bay Packer hat on. If you're listening or watching, whether on the stream on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, make sure you subscribe to us there. And also join this via phone a little bit closer to home from the beautiful, wonderful, it's not horrible at all, is it, Matt Flynn in beautiful Milwaukee, two-time Democratic Party chair and also an attorney as well and a great friend and colleague of ours. Talk a little bit before the break here about this, the Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown kind of and Kagan putting out these warning signs here that, you know, it might not just be Dobbs that is going to overturn precedent, but it could be things like Obergefell, which made same-sex marriage the law of the land. Or, and I think this is important, and I want to go back to you, Trivi Olson, as you and I are going to be touring around the state here the second week in July, and then being at the RNC. And by the way, we're just going to the Milwaukee to drink the Wisconsin beer, not the Kool-Aid, as it turns out. And
no Kool-Aid drinking.
Todd. No Kool-Aid drinking. But here's the thing, Trigby. Matt brings up this point, and I think that Wisconsinites, by and large, if you said, do you want government interfering in your daughter's health care, or do you want the government telling you that you can buy birth control at the Quick Trip before you go on a date? They probably say, no, I don't want government telling me that. But these are real things, as wacky as it may seem, that are at stake here in 2024.
Okay, Somers keeps muting me and then I unmute myself.
All right, you're on.
These are real things, and there is cognitive dissonance there. And I will tell you, girl dads in the state of Wisconsin and across the country who are conservative, who don't want the government telling them what kind of shotgun they can own, also don't want the government telling their daughters what they can and can't do. They just don't. But we have to have that conversation in the right way. And we need daughters and wives to be having those conversations with their husbands in that context. You don't want government telling you what kind of shotgun you can own. You don't want government coming and telling you what you can do on your land. And we don't want government telling us what we can and can't do with our bodies.
Yeah. You've talked about before as a girl dad yourself. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Mark got a lot on the docket, so if you can keep it a little brief today. But Mark, for Perrin to Sack, always a pleasure. What say you?
Yeah, it would be interesting if the originalists on the Supreme Court would actually read the Constitution and actually recognize the definition of shall in the Constitution. It's not it's a wishy-washy word. It means must. I mean, it's the imperative word, like that. Mm-hmm. We have the right to vote. It's imperative in the Constitution. We have the right to vote, to have our votes counted. I would say that's in 14.2 of the amendment to the Constitution, that we actually have to be a right to be secure in our persons, which I would maintain is actually the right to privacy, because what's more private than your decisions on sexuality? But and I'd point out to them again that nowhere in the Constitution is it enumerated the Supreme Court has this power. It's a power they took upon themselves. If they want to say, well, we have to go the originalist, well, then there is not an original term in the Constitution that said the court has the right to decide the constitutionality of laws.
Right.
And
I appreciate it, Mark. I'm sorry. Thanks. I really appreciate it. Time's a little short today. But Matt Flynn, resident attorney here, what about this point that Mark brings up and to trivialize point of people who were in our day growing up as conservatives, Republicans, said we don't want the Supreme Court making laws. We want them to interpret it as it's written. It seems like things have flip-flopped around, Matt.
Right. Here's the deal, and Mark brings up a good point. there's nothing in the Constitution also that says anyone has a right to privacy. But in the 1880s, Louis Brandeis, who went on to the Supreme Court afterwards, wrote a very influential article making the argument that there was a right to privacy. And in Griswold v. Connecticut, 1962, the Supreme Court said, well, married couples, and frankly anybody, can go in and get contraception. They have a right to personal privacy, and they found it in the Ninth Amendment, which is a very general amendment. It doesn't have the word privacy. The point is that this has been our law for 60 years, and there are two things I've got to get in here that's very important. One is, remember Kavanaugh and the rest, when they were asked about abortion, they lied. They said, well, you know, there's two precedents, and, you know, it's sacrosanct, and they flat out lied. And they also said that about same-sex marriage and contraception. Clarence Thomas, who's as crooked as a dog's hind leg, he's one of the tarantulas, he's taken millions of dollars, and nobody does anything about it. He said that he thinks that that puts into question same-sex marriage. It puts into question contraception. He said that. The others lied about Dobbs. It wasn't Dobbs then. It was the right to abortion. So this is a rogue court. Alito is the guy, in my judgment, who leaked the Dobbs decision so that Kavanaugh was locked in. They didn't interrogate him under oath. They didn't ask him under oath. And he had previously, in the Hobby Lobby case, shown an advance copy to a lobbyist. This Supreme Court is operating as a super legislature. It was not elected, and they're in there for life. It's not in the Constitution.
I want to go to kind of a speed round, gentlemen. Let's bring up this ad from the Lincoln Project we touched on earlier. This is an ad just put out by Trigvee's group here, the Lincoln Project, on the current state of the Republican Party.
Millions of Republicans, more all the time, are feeling the pressure. The pressure to vote for the party, to toe the line, to pull the lever the way you always did before. Maybe the way your parents did, too. It used to make sense. It used to be easy. Because it used to be the party that said character mattered. The party that was for the family. The party that believed in the vision of the founders. The party of law and order. The party of rugged individualism. The party that would never vote for a criminal. But with or without the verdict, we all knew that's exactly what Donald Trump is. A criminal. When did conservative values become about one man? When did faith go from looking upward to looking the other way? Donald Trump doesn't represent the party of Lincoln. He's not the inheritor of Reagan's legacy. Donald Trump is a virus that has torn our party to shreds. It's time to save the Republican Party by voting against it.
Trigvee Olson, if I had a hat, I'd take it off to you. As your colleague at the Lincoln Project, you just did, right? As your colleague at Lincoln Project, Stuart Stevens... Yeah, Stuart Stevens has said the only way to save the former Republican Party is to burn it to the ground. This ad lays it out there.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it's Rick Wilson. Rick Wilson is a genius at what he does. I think it does get right to the heart of the question, right, that Republicans have to be asking themselves. And I think some of the most powerful stuff in that ad is, you know, when did looking up become looking past, right? Like, the cognitive dissonance and the incongruence between what the Republican Party stood for and what Donald Trump stands for is substantial. It is not Tommy Thompson's Republican Party. It is not Ronald Reagan's Republican Party. And no matter how much people like Scott Walker and other appeasers want to put the Reagan Ranch up on their Twitter feed and tweet Bible verses at us because they want to be somebody since Bad Boys State, it doesn't change that reality.
Yeah. It's not even Paul Ryan's Republican Party, by the way, as they've shunned him, and he's not going to the convention, and he said that Donald Trump wasn't qualified to be president. Matt Flynn, one of the reasons, many reasons, that I admire you so much and love hanging out with you is because you see things through a broad lens, and you've said repeatedly on this network, look, I don't want the Republican Party to completely disappear. I want the old Republican Party back because you believe in at least a two-party system, Matt.
Absolutely. We absolutely need a center-right party. We need a center-right party. I do not want to be governed by a center-left party all by itself. That said, where are the Tommy Thompsons? Where are the Paul Ryans? You know, that kind of thing. Tommy Thompson was a genius at reaching out and without giving the appearance of doing it and jeopardizing himself in his own primaries. But the problem is, going forward, I do not want scorched earth, burn everything to the ground, and put in all leftists. I really do not want that. And frankly, the extreme left of the Democratic Party, the identity politics cult of the Islamo-left, I don't want either. But I do not want people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump, Paul Gosar, Matt Gaetz. These people aren't even Americans, in my view. They are antithetical to America. And as long as they dominate the Republican Party, I'll leave you one quick thing. Excellent results in the primary on Tuesday. In Utah, Senate and governor, they rejected, the Republicans rejected the Trump GOP candidate that was endorsed and went with Republicans who are more center-right. In Ohio, a 28-point Republican district under Trump, special election, the Republican only won by 8 points. There is something going on, and I think the average person understands it, but I am a strong proponent of a center-right party to accompany a center-left party.
Gentlemen, I want to get both your takes on this. Eric Hovde, O.C. Eric Hovde, Orange County Eric Hovde, tried to celebrate Juneteenth last week. And this is what he had to say on another radio program about June 13th. Let's play it.
Africans are African, but we are Africa.
Nice intro. Here's the actual cut from Eric Hovde. Not much different.
Turkey leg.
Is there anything that you're going to take away from this that you didn't know about black culture before that you know of today?
Look, I've spent a lot of time in black culture, and as Tori knows, I've spent a lot of time in places like Africa because I have homeless shelters for abandoned kids and rescuing kids out of the streets, and I've been in.
Matt Flynn, did you ever think you would see in your life in 2024 a major candidate for U.S. Senate say, I know about black culture because, you know, I've been to Africa?
Because of the pathology. Look, Trump did the same thing. I'll get black votes because I have a criminal conviction. This is so disingenuous. It's so demeaning. Absolutely demeaning to these. I mean, people are human beings. We're all Americans. I serve a lot of black guys in the Navy. They don't need to be told by some clown that is pathology that people are feeling sorry about in the Republican Party. And I do not think that was the conventional center-right Republican Party in the old days. I really don't.
Right.
This is a pathology on the Republican side now.
I mean, Trivi, we talked about this yesterday. The latest thing from Trump is trying to make migrants look like inanimate objects or animals, suggesting there should be a fight club of migrants versus UFC, in the same vein as Rebecca Clocks and Tables Clayfish, the former lieutenant governor, who once said, well, geez, if people marry the same sex, what's next? They're going to want to marry their clocks and tables. There is a recent history in our former party, the current MAGA party, to dehumanize people.
Well, I mean, I think we should just, you know, we should just take two Democrats under the age of 18 from every state in the second Trump administration and have them fight in a ring to the death.
Right?
One is left.
I mean, it's crazy.
But here's the thing about Eric Hovde, right? Like, this guy is living proof that you can have a lot of money and really be dumb.
Right? It's exactly right. By the way, I hope people are watching Tammy Baldwin's campaign, because I have never seen a better campaign run in my life. Now she has an ad out where they take a clip from when Hovde ran against Tommy in the Republican primary in 2012, in which he said, Hovde, that he thinks that people who are overweight and who are obese, and all of us are technically pretty close to that, if you are an overweight person, you should pay more for your health insurance. And at the end of the ad, Tammy has a construction guy going, Eric Hovde, what the hell are you thinking? It's great. I mean,
right, well,
I mean,
she has a great ad about the old people. They shouldn't vote.
Right. So he's offended old people, people who are retired, and overweight people. That's like 80% of Wisconsin. All right, stay tuned. More on the other side. One final segment with Matt Flynn and Trivi Olson. It's the All Ball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Joining us from a tropical vacation spot, also a work vacation. We appreciate him making time for us. Down south, joining us is Trevi Olson, ongoing contributor, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, and two-time Democratic Wisconsin Party Chair Matt Flynn, an attorney, all-around great guy, Navy veteran, Renaissance man extraordinaire. Gentlemen, we have a debate. You guys both know Bill McCosken. He used to be called Billy Mack, the boy wonder, youngest chief of staff ever for Tommy Thompson and then commerce secretary. He's been on this program before. And someone at another network said to Bill McCosken, said, will Trump show up on Thursday? And McCosken said, yep. They said, will there be a second debate? And McCosken said, nope. Matt Flynn, from the Democratic side, what do you expect at the debate, which we will cover here on Civic Media, starting at 7:30 with a pregame show at 8 o'clock game time?
Yeah, right. I think this is a great thing. And frankly, I think Joe Biden was exactly right to propose it, to permit it. A lot of people have said, why don't you wait till the fall? But the truth of the matter is that Joe Biden has been debating for 50 some odd years, and he's excellent. He really is. And he handled Trump back in 2020. Remember, mm-hmm. Trump cut in on him and he goes, shut up, man. Shut up, right. man. Now, here, Trump's microphone will be cut off. But and no audience, because what he did with Hillary Clinton is he brought in the women that Bill Clinton had been with to kind of embarrass her. Now, if it were Biden, what I would consider doing, if there was an audience, you bring in Stormy Daniels and the Miss America and all these people and sit in the front row. But you know something? I'm a Democrat. We don't do this kind of things, unfortunately. Unfortunately. So in any event, so it's going to be somewhat antiseptic. There's not cut off mics. There's not going to be any audience. And frankly, Biden has a lot to talk about. What's Trump going to talk about? Was you know, revenge? I didn't rape E. Jean Carroll. Okay, you say you didn't, but you paid a hell of a lot of money. You paid a lot of money to a lot of people you said you didn't rape, okay?
Right, exactly.
What's that all about? Really? I mean, I'm not kidding.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Matt. Trigby Olson, you've been in these rooms with guys like John McCain preparing them for presidential debates. What do you expect on Thursday night?
I think Donald Trump will be Donald Trump. He's going to constantly try and get in under Biden's skin. Remember, you know, I think the Trump campaign judges what a win or a loss is much more on what is that one thing that they can try and drill home as the narrative, whereas Democrats sometimes try and post-debate spin about what policies were offered or whatnot. I think the caution for Democrats is they need to really figure out what's that narrative. And I think the narrative is already known. Donald Trump is unhinged and is a risk that's too great for people. And then you fill in the details. But, you know, the key in this, it isn't just the debate, which I think I read somewhere probably will have the largest television audience for a debate in history. That doesn't surprise me. I also think it's going to be really hard for Jake and Dana. I know Dana better than I know Jake. You know, they're pros, but I think trying to keep a handle on how Trump is going to act is going to be real hard. And you're already seeing the Trump campaign try and play the moderators with quite a bit.
One minute each, if I could, gentlemen. First, Matt Flynn, to you. What do you feel this debate could or could not do in terms of swaying the Wisconsin electorate vote?
Right. I think it's much ado about nothing. There is no one on the planet who hasn't heard of Biden and Trump, and I don't think there are many people who haven't made up their mind. You know, I'm a strong Biden guy, so there's nothing that Trump could do that would make a difference to me. I think people are watching it for entertainment. But I think that ultimately it gives Biden this. I'm willing to debate the guy. I did it before he was even nominated. He's a criminal. He's going to be sentenced. And the Supreme Court is liable to come out with a very tough decision for him on immunity. And that's what people are going to carry into the summer. Then in the fall, there'll be another debate. But I just think that this is entertainment. I do not think that this is something where, oh, I didn't know that about that guy, therefore I'll switch. I don't think that's going to happen.
Trivial.
I would disagree with that a little bit. I think that's generally true for 80, not probably 94% of the electorate. There's that 6% that's dissatisfied with vote. They're concerned from a policy standpoint, they might sort of be more organically inclined to back Republicans, but they are really uncomfortable with Donald Trump, but they're also concerned about Joe Biden, whether it's the age, the competency, those kinds of issues, which I think are unfair. I think the key facet for Biden is it's sort of like Reagan in 84. He had a bad first debate, second debate. You know, he got asked about his age and he said he wasn't going to make an issue of Walter Mondale's youth and inexperience. And even Walter Mondale had to laugh, and everybody, including Walter Mondale, said they knew the election was over as soon as he said it. You know, and that became the story of the debate. The question is, can Joe Biden have that sort of moment where he encapsulates it with that 6% of people? Yeah, the guy is up for it. He can do the next 4 years.
I think that I see both what you're saying, but I think you're both right. It is entertainment, but I also think there's this small percentage in a state that could be won or lost by 15 to 20,000 votes, Matt Flynn. Every vote counts.
Right. But here's the thing. I agree with Trigby to this extent, but Ronald Reagan was likable, and he wasn't convicted of 34 felony counts. Okay? You know, so he says something like that. He's a great actor. This clown is going, how many women has he raped and paid off and denied it? And he has 34 felony counts.
But to Trigby's point, Matt, if Biden can have a moment like that where he encapsulates everything about Trump in a pithy one-liner, that can be memorable.
Right.
That's a very good point from Trigby and you. Here's what I would say.
Yep.
People in Wisconsin should get this. So the Marquette poll just came out at noon today. It shows Biden up 2. The last one showed Trump up 2. And really, it's that 4% that's shifting between the two in a head-to-head that it really the debate is about. That's the audience that really matters. And to a degree, with Biden, you know, younger progressives and African-American communities, some of the base things that he has. Trump has the advantage that, you know, he can throw red meat to his base and it's going to energize. But really, at the end of the day, it's that 4%. In Wisconsin, Evers Johnson voters, they're the ones who are going to be the audience that really matters. And it's the Evers Johnson voter versions in Michigan and Arizona and Pennsylvania, too.
Pat Kreitlow, thank you to him for earlier. Trivi Olson joining us from somewhere down south. And Matt Flynn from Milwaukee, thank you all so very much. We appreciate your expertise. We'll see Trigby next week. And Matt Flynn, see you soon. Don't go anywhere. Hour 2 is straight ahead with Adjutant General David May for the Wisconsin Army and National Guard.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
Together, in a debate of the issues important to you, your first opportunity to hear from President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump is Thursday, June 27th.
Listen live on your local Civic Media radio station. Starting at 7:30 p.m., News Director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, will share insight on what's at stake.
The CNN Presidential Debate, live Thursday, June 27th. Coverage at 7:30, the debate at 8, on your local Civic Media radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.